As promised, here we are with Lionel. Every time something big breaks on Diddy, I'm not at home. But last night, when I was in London in my hotel and I saw the news break, I contacted Lionel, contacted Professor Hamamoto, and we've got this superseding indictment, which is a mouthful. But first off, Lionel, huge thank you for coming on. And what the hell is a superseding indictment?
It's unfair. It's almost like a mulligan in golf. It's like, we're going to clarify a few things. A lot of times if they dismiss the indictment or parts of it, they'll say, well, but what I meant to say was, or, well, we've got some new information. This is a dog. This is a signal that this case, Sean, this case has been, there's a word for what this case is. This has been around for 20 whatever years. You're clarifying the indictment now. What are you talking about? What 20? Well, we're adding a new drug. We added on cilomethion. Okay, great. Who are these people? Three people? Three? Am I reading this wrong? Three? They've had freak offs. Three. Now, I'm going to tell you something, Sean. I don't think you really want to hear what I have to say about this, because a lot of people are going to get upset. But do you want me to be politically correct, or do you want me to tell you the truth, as I would tell you if you were second chairing me and we're prosecuting this thing, and I'm telling you, and you know a little bit about this. Do you want to be nice about this, or do you want me to tell you the truth? Because I don't think people really want, they haven't been thinking about the trial. Because as you know, my good friend, what you say happened means nothing unless the jury agrees with you. And if the jury doesn't agree with you, if the jury doesn't see it your way, it never happened. So you can talk about this stuff all day long. But let me get down to brass tacks. Who are our witnesses? Do we know this? Who are these people? What if I get, and here's the bad part. I'm sorry. I'm going to try to clean this up for YouTube purposes, okay? But there is a word. Well, let me go back. Just give me a preface. When the mob, when a lot of these... Sammy the Bull types and others. I don't know what the... I'm sorry. Forgive me for these. I don't know if you can see these thumbs up things that pop up out of nowhere. Anyway, when Sammy the Bull and others testified, a lot of times it said, what if he comes across as retarded? You know, some kind of like, I tell you what, Don John Good Jr. It's like, this is our witness? Yeah, but he was there for the rub out. But he's a moron and he's obnoxious and they curse, and they had to worry about this a lot. Sometimes if I know that I've got a witness out there, the complaining witness, and I'm going to get him upset, all I've got to do is just sit there and say, what do you mean? And I know they're going to get that street tough and maybe I can make them blow up. Now, let me tell you something. What happens if, God forbid, but like somebody will say, what if they went full, you know, Bensonhurst or downtown? Or what if, you know, what if the guy put on his mafia? But what if I've got a witness who I find out goes full ghetto on me and I can snap her like that and have her lose her mind? I'm doing a little research. I get some investigators. Show me some of her social media. Who is this? Is this she's been in jail? She's been in charge? Drugs? Alcohol? Armed robbery? Who is this person? And if I get up there and I say, and here's some woman who isn't this 20-year-old, 18-year-old, hot, I'm sorry, I'm going to use terms that people might understand. Some hot, you know, Diddy freak out. But what if it's somebody who's in her 40s, who walks in there with a bad wig on, and I can snap her, and all of a sudden she starts going crazy and goes full-blown, I'm going to look at the jury and say, this is their witness. That's just one. We got two more. What if they don't like her? Let me give you an example. Let's say you're in the United States. You're a fine man from the UK. Now, in the United States, anybody with a British accent we think are smart for reasons I don't understand, but we do. If I play this up and I say, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to be Mr. Chips. I want you to come in and go, hello, boy. I want you to, because they'll think you're like, no matter what, this is the drug kingpin. He goes, hello, boy. Yes. You see, there's a girl. I was like, this is great. If you think I'm kidding, have you ever watched, have you ever seen any YouTube, some Chipotle fight where somebody's all of a sudden four sisters together because they didn't get a barbecue sauce? They go, get your mother! And they start fighting in the wigs. Now, if you think I'm kidding, if you think you might say, oh, you're being, I know exactly what I'm talking about. Let me get a hold of somebody and let me sit there and say, let me tell you something. What's your name, LaShondra? So you're supposed to be the victim? Is that it? What, 20 years ago? How much you making out of this? Now, that's legitimate cross-examination. If nobody got a hold of her and said, now, listen, this guy's going to go off. This guy's going to give you a hard time. She could lose her mind. And I'm going to say, good. What's the matter? I, one time years ago, was on a show. Remember the Ricky Lake show? Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
Ricky Lake? Maybe. Okay, vaguely. It was like before Jerry Springer. I was on and arguing with a woman named, you're going to think I'm kidding, Lasagna. I'm not kidding you. You think I'm kidding. You think I'm kidding. Lasagna. And Lasagna, I got right into her soul. And I mean she, and I could look at her and say, let me tell you something. And I could see it. And she would say, don't disrespect. This is years ago. I said, oh, really? Oh, you think that's disrespect? Let me tell you something, honey. And she lost it. Now, let's assume I get this. So, Lasagna, let's see. Look at this. What have you been up to? Oh, let's see. How's the drug rehab going? How many times you in there? And you this, and you were arrested. Let's assume. Now, if somebody comes up from this freak-off who looks like Angela Bassett, they're nice. Good morning. How are you? I'm doomed. I'm through. We're going to plea. Diddy, we're done. We're finished. Same thing with you. Same thing with... There was a guy... But let me tell you something. This will work sometimes. In reverse. Because you can have somebody who takes a stand, takes a... And her name could be Lasagna or Shanique or whatever it is. And she may say to you, you're right. I've had a tough road. I've been indicted and I've been lost my kids. And one of the reasons why is because what that man did to me. I was a young, and I can say, stop. So it works. You never know. You never know. But unless I get to see the witness, I don't know anything. There was a guy years ago named John Veazey. John Veazey testified against Stanfa, whatever, in the Philly case. John Veazey, I think, has the IQ of a dart. I mean, this guy, John Veazey, look him up, V-E-A-S-E-Y. He was shot in the head, close range. He walked into a room. He saw plastic everywhere. Did not understand. They're not doing two coats of paint. This guy, they shot him and he lived. Why? They shot him in the head. Worst place in the world. Shoot the guy in the ass. Another story. He lived. And he died, and you could just go online. You could see the bullet hole. Okay. He took the stand. There he is. Look at this guy. He's got a couple of chromosomes missing. This guy covers the intelligence spectrum from A to B. He's like a speed bump. He's like a soap dish. He was the most incredibly... Get a picture of his head. Get a picture of the back of his head. No, no, do me a favor. I can wait. If you get a chance, you're not going to believe this. So anyway, he's taking the stand. He was one of the best witnesses anybody's ever seen. He had a clarity where he can remember everything. I mean, he was so matter of fact. Yeah, we did it. So you killed him? Yeah. Oh, so you were a killer too, huh? Mm-hmm. And so you're telling me no? Yes. And it worked. So my point is, unless I know what these people are, and I got to get a lot of work because I'm going to find out who the witnesses are. But if I can't, but if I can get somebody who just, now I know that when you say this, and a lot of you wonderful folks in the UK don't know what I'm talking about. There we go. Look at this. See him? See the bullet holes? Look at that. There's a bullet hole in the back of the head. The occipital lobe. He lived. He lived. And if you ask me, it probably was a tune-up. He probably was clearer after he was shot. This guy was a moron. But one of the most incredibly perfect witnesses you've ever seen. He was so believable. They believed him. So you never know about this. So that's all I'm saying. You never know. And also, how's, I hope, Diddy, I'm hearing he's not getting his hair dyed. He's getting real thin. He's getting gray. Let him come. Can you imagine, they bring him out, and he sits down like this. Hi, how are you? And he sits there, and he's not wearing the bling. And you say, oh, my God, who's that? That's Diddy. That's Diddy? Look what they've done to him. Think I'm kidding? Think I'm kidding? Ladies and gentlemen, we have the innocent of proven guilty. Unless you're Diddy. He's been here the whole time. Innocent my ass. Eighth, Fifth Amendment. Look at him. And I'm going to say, now that you're, I want you to lose more weight and I want you to look bad. So he comes in there and say, Sean, yes, Sean, can you hold me this? Yeah, let me see if I can read this. Oh my God. Play it up. Play it up. We call it, you know, the Sicilian flu. Play it up. Then I'm going to sit here and say, wow, ladies and gentlemen, you know, in the old days when you would say federal court, you probably know this. I don't know why I keep alluding like you're some big criminal, but I think you've been around. You know this. There was a joke in federal court, in criminal law, that said this. In federal court, there are either cases where you have to use forklifts or not. Federal court always was the biggest of the big of the big. I mean, if you want to talk about trafficking, it's got to be trafficking. Not two dames with a bad wig and a freak-off at a Motel 8 on Route 3. It doesn't, no, no, no. This is big. Three people? And he conspires, racketeering conspiracy, with himself? What is this? And he cajoled and wheedled and he threatened and bamboozled women. He promised them. Promised them. Promised them what? That's what half of this stuff is. You promise people, you lie. Let me tell you something. I know it's going to be tough for him, and I don't like him. I don't know him. But, Sean, I look at cases just in terms of the facts. If I represented somebody from the Hell's Angels or some motorcycle crew, or God forbid, I've got to worry about jury appeal. How do I get this across? And sometimes you use it in your advantage. Mr. Atwood, you're a pretty scary guy.
Yeah.
How much do you weigh?
400 pounds.
How tall are you?
6'5".
Do you scare people?
Yeah.
Did you do this?
No.
How do I believe you?
Because I didn't.
And sometimes juries will say, I love this guy. I love this guy. See, because Sean, I can't say this enough. It's the jury. It's not what we think. And you've had some people on your show. I love you, brother. But I don't believe that. I wouldn't believe the time of day they gave me. Some of these folks were, I mean, they were saying stuff. It's like, what the hell is this? But that's okay. They're not testifying. It all comes
well, down to... One of them, Courtney Burgess, who recently came on the show with a Russian hat and a Masonic cane, He's the one who's getting sued for $50 million by Diddy and was a grand jury witness. So he might. What's Courtney's jury appeal?
It depends upon the story. It depends upon what are you telling me? What happened? What did you see? What was the... I think I told you one of the most incredible things I didn't see this, but I heard this. We had in the U.S. a case, Emmett Till, civil rights, young man, black man, goes from Chicago, goes to some Mississippi town. Either he whistles at a white woman, allegedly whistles, but they killed him. Came in the middle of the night, took him, and they found him with a fan blade. And it was horrible. And his mother said, I want an open casket. It was horrible. His uncle, I think, sharecropper, illiterate, you know, bib overalls, had to point out either one or both of the sheriffs who came, or deputies who came to his house in the middle of the night and took young Emmett Till away, the last time they ever saw him. And he had to stand up in court and identify them. This was the most incredible thing in the world. And he stood up, and his words were, "Dar he," meaning there or whatever. But in his colloquialism, "Dar he." Sean, they said, that was it. It was like, holy, this guy with the overalls, thin, real thin, you know, just courts are about theater. It's about the moment. It's about what you believe. It's about the way you're looking. It's the way they're watching. They're watching you. Half of the time, you want to go over with your client. You don't want to rehearse them, but what you want to sit there and what you want to say, now listen, when you're listening to this, what are you going to be doing? You're going to be doing this? Oh, God, no. God, no. You look like you're at a zoo and you're looking at something. And you're looking at, is that the flamingo? Yes. Is this? Oh, that's interesting. You look at them like they mean nothing. Like they're crazy. You don't react because they're not important. Not, oh, come on. But, you know, John Gotti, they said, used to like do this thing. And they would say, Mr. Gotti, is that a hand gesture? No, I'm not doing anything. No, you're going like this. What is it? It's stupid. So all of this stuff. So three witnesses, 20. State your name for the record. No. Ms. Brown, how many freak-offs did you go to? Is that what you call them, freak-offs? Yeah. How many go? And tell me, when you were pulled off of the street and thrown into that white van in order for you to... Oh, you didn't? Oh, well, you didn't go voluntarily, did you? Oh, you did? You went voluntarily? You mean you wanted to go? Yes. How many times did you try to go to this? Did you have any insight? I've got people here who say that you went up to, let's say, to limousine drivers or whatever it was. So when the jury's slick listening to this, and let me also tell you, Sean, what juries say to themselves, they say, I can't believe this shit. Federal court, they want me to take weeks of my life. I tried to get off this jury. This better be good. This better be good. Make this worth my time. Oh, don't worry. We've got intrigue and terrorists and machine guns. And I remember one time there was a dope case in Florida years ago where there was so much cocaine in the courtroom, people were crying. This is before masks. They were like this, enough. All of a sudden, bringing in this stuff. I mean, it was like, wow. Nobody ever, I mean, it was, and the money, they bring the money in, and look at this, $1 billion in money, as opposed to this. I got LaShondra sitting back here saying, and then we went to the party. Who is this? I'm one of the three. This is it? You got any videos? Mm-mm. No. Well, okay. Make it worth my while. You're not winning me over there, Mr. Prosecutor. Come on. Where's this conspiracy that's racketeering? Ooh. I mean, this is, and if Diddy, I swear to God, I hope he sits there and says, let me testify. Ask away. Ask me anything you want to know. Mr. Diddy, oh, I was bad. I was a player. How many women have you been to? 10,000. Yep. Don't have to. I don't need a freak off. I don't need to grab anybody. What's the point of this? I'm too busy for that. I've got people. You know why I hired security? To keep them off me. I'm not going out there. What are you talking about? And you want that jury to say, can you believe this shit? What am I doing here? What am I doing here? Three people, one after another, one worse than the other. Say, well, I'm just assuming, again, John, they could be great. So what I'm trying to say is, perhaps elliptically, let's don't lose sight of what this is. This isn't, you know, TMZ and Harvey Levin. This is a trial. State your name for the witness. Opening statement. Cross-examination. I mean, oh, can you imagine a cross-examination? And the victims have to testify. Oh, dear God. Oh, my God. Imagine that.
At least with my superseding indictment, they gave me 12 new charges. He didn't even get a new charge, did he?
No, they kind of like, if you read it, they say paragraph two, to wit, to he versus she, comma, after. What is this? It looks like a proofreading. It looks like somebody went through with a yellow, with a red pencil and put a blue. You know, it's like when you would do an essay and your teacher says, too wordy, you know. And you got to ask yourself this question. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I'm from the United States of America. We have millions of illegal aliens who have traversed our borders, and millions of them, and they're from Tren de Aragua, these Venezuelan cartels and MS-13 and the Sinaloa cartel, and they're all in here grabbing our children, women who are forced. And what are we doing? I got LaShondra over here and said, what is this? It looks like a girl band. What is this? What are you doing to me? What did this mean? This is it? Three girls from how many years ago? This is the best you can do? The last time? Did he stop this because he's getting old? What was the newest case? The newest case of freak off violence? What? 20 years ago? Who was president? What are we talking about here? Now, let me explain something. There are victims. There are victims in more ways than you can imagine. I'm not saying this. I'm not saying that this isn't a curse, but I'm saying with this case, you know, Sean, there's a wonderful scene. I love it. From the movie Jack Reacher. This is when Tom Cruise, and there was this one scene where they want to fight him. And Tom Cruise is a great actor. He's like 3 feet tall, but you know, whatever. But anyway, there's about 9 people that want to fight him. And Jesse says, okay, I'm going to get you first. I'm going to get you, and I'm going to do you, and I'm going to kick you in the balls, and I'm going to cut you up. And right before the fight starts, he leans over and says, remember, you wanted this. So remember, federal government, you wanted this. You picked him. You don't want Jay-Z. You don't want Eminem, you don't want whoever the hell these people, I don't know. You want him for reasons we can't figure out. Okay. He's weird. He's creepy. You see those pictures of Bieber lately? Oh my God. He looks like he's been like he was one of those Chilean mining victims, you know, who they let out after. He's walking around without his hat. He's bald and he just looks like, oh my God. You know. And of course, Diddy's going to say, that's not me. I haven't seen him. And, you know, he's married to that other one. He's got other superseding goings, you know. But this is, these are not good people. I don't like any of them. Doesn't matter. I'm a lawyer. What did you do here? I'd represent anybody. What did you do here? Did you do this? No. Can they prove it? No. Let's go. This is America. This is the Constitution of the United States. This is our book. This is the rule book. It's not whether I like people. Everybody. John Adams. You'll get a kick out of this. John Adams, our second president, was famous for defending British soldiers during the Boston Tea Party. British soldiers. Those limey. But the point is, that's what we do. There were lawyers who represented people during Nuremberg. Can you prove it or not? I don't like you. If I'm a priest and you come to me for absolution, I don't like what you did. I'm here for a reason. If I don't want to be a priest, don't be a priest. If I'm in an emergency room or something, and somebody comes to me with a gunshot wound, I don't say, excuse me, I only help people who are worthy. No. We got to remind people of kind of what this is about. And I love all these shows, and I know people who go crazy about the baby oil and this. And what the hell difference does that make? Look at him. Does that look like Bieber to you?
No, it doesn't. Looks like someone who's been hammering the substances.
Or maybe that's what Mary DeHaley, what's her name, does to you, drives you. This guy, this young man, he looks like he's gaunt. He's got an eating disorder. Something. He does not look well. This is just, I feel sorry for him. And mark my words, you're going to hear something bad happen to him. And you know who else? Britney Spears. Britney Spears, one day we're going to wake up and boop, and it's so sad with their, she's on this conservatorship and it's horrible. But this is just, my
unbelievable.
God.
That is wow.
And he's the gravy train. He's the gravy train. But let me tell you something. As soon as his money dries up, though, it's like, who? Justin, who? Who?
Looks like Jesse from Breaking Bad when Jesse had hammered it.
Have you ever known? Oh, you know what he looks like? You know when what the hell is his name? The British actor and others who, you know, the ones who lose weight, just Christian Bale, and you know, they lose all this weight to be he looks like that now. In fact, he could go into it. If you have a movie where you need somebody who looks like they've been, you know, in a camp for the last 10 years, I'm your guy. This is sad. You don't know, maybe you don't know this, but we have had a woman here in this country named Wendy Williams. And she was on TV and she was very fun. She's very fun. They've got her on a conservatorship and they're sucking every dollar out of her. Same thing with this guy. It's not a conservatorship, but he's got what, about 9 fat people? This is so sad. He needs help. He needed help from what they did to him. Same thing for Michael Jackson. Same thing for Michael Jackson. This does not leave you. It takes years and years and years to remove yourself from this. Horrible.
He's the new spokesman for Balenciaga.
Oh, my God. Well, remember heroin chic? This is traumatized chic. This is something else. No, he looks, seriously, you've got to be out of your mind. Unless you're just exploiting him, or he needs the money, or they're paying him nothing. I don't know. See, that's what these people are. This is a sick world of parasitic, I don't just call them psychopaths. I think that word is used too much. But these are people who just suck the life out of people who don't know any better. And in the meantime, there are people in this country who need so much help, who have been themselves the victim of sex trafficking, sexual transportation, or whatever particular algorithmic word you want to use. And they're just all but forgotten because they're not important. They're not big. They're not. This is a very sick world. There's a lot of people watching right now, Sean, that are watching right now, people who themselves could tell you stories, what they've been through. You know, when I was a prosecutor, there was a division called juvenile. Juvenile was kind of a misnomer, but it was dependencies, where a person is deemed dependent upon the state or the government for help. I saw stuff that I couldn't sleep at night. Murders didn't bother me. Regular stuff didn't bother me. That was like whatever it is. Children? But not only that, just children who were not wanted. Just abandoned kids who were in the criminal. Oh, there he goes. Kids who were part of the child protective services routine just lost. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've lost Sean. It was his last show. YouTube finally got a hold of him and said, "That's enough, Atwood. We've sent you enough warnings. You're not paying attention to us. So we're just going to summarily cut your video." And anyway, this is so mightily sad.
Yeah, it's really sad. Wow. All right, let's get him off the screen. It's going to depress us. We were having a good laugh before.
Well, you know, I think, by the way, your name is Susan Reich all of a sudden. I think sometimes we laugh because of the absurdity. It's not that we're laughing at people. It's not because we, but the situation is so absurd that we can't believe what we're seeing. See, I'm right now living in this, you know, you wouldn't know this, but we're, I hope it happens to you when they get rid of that Starmer dude, but we have, we're having now President Trump. It's the greatest thing in the world. I mean, every day it's just a touchdown after a field goal. It's a, I mean, it's incredible. So we're just watching these, just these sick people who don't care about what if, what's happened to children. Do you know, let me give you an example of something. Not that this is your concern, but in the United States, we have these people called Native Americans, called Indians. And they were here. I don't know if they were here first, but they were here before us. We came in. We basically took their land, killed them, genocide, wiped all of their bison, buffalo, and put them on reservations. Drug abuse, alcoholism through the roof, mental illness. They put them on reservations. And get this. The number of women and children who are just disappeared daily is incredible. They're just gone. And President Trump did more to recognize these people. The Democrats, those rat bastards, Joe Biden, Kamala, all these other people, never cared. But they talk a great game about black this and black and LGBTQIA and this and that. But when it comes to people who are disappeared, Native Americans, here first, indigenous, gone. They're just, and they go, and the police will say, well, that's a tribal issue. What? No, that's a, it's just, so I am awash in insanity. I'm used to this. This is what I live, this is what I get up in the morning and I'm in the nut house. I'm in the nut house. It's the most incredible thing in the world.
Yeah, I when I was incarcerated, I met a few Native Americans and they told me the sad stories about life on the res and what they've been through in the unaliving and the alcoholism and the unemployment and the brutality. And yeah, really sad.
Do you know, by the way, interesting thing, we don't even depict them right in the, there's always like, there's always some caricature, like, all right, chief, you know, there's always some guy in a movie and they always speak the same kind of plains. There's 8,000 tribes. There's all, we have the Seminole Indians in the forest. We've got here, we got the, have you ever heard about the Fakawi tribes? The Fakawis are probably, it was a group of people, it was a tribe around North Dakota and they were lost. And they looked around, they said, where the fuck are we? And that's a terrible joke. It's an awful name. I'm sorry. People, see, everybody in America knows the Fakawi joke. You didn't. So I knew that. That's the good part about this. But the way we treat them, any we always see them in movies and they're always running beaver say. Who talks like that? They don't talk. We only had one song, Redbone. Come and get your love. Come and get your love. Hey, what the matter with... They're Mexican. Have you ever seen this guy? And to show you about it, we had this guy named Iron Eyes Cody. Iron Eyes Cody. There was a... If you ever look him up, he had these... There was this wonderful ad. Everybody my age knows it. It was when we cared about things like garbage and pollution, and he played an Indian on a canoe and he's going down the river and there's garbage and things and he's got his leathers on and he's this proud Indian with a feather and he's on his canoe and he turns to the camera and there's a tear. Oh, Iron Eyes Cody, he's Sicilian, he's not an Indian. So anyway, all our the Indians, Marlon Brando in 1972, whatever, when he won the Academy Award, brought up Sasheen Littlefeather to accept the Academy Award for him. She's Mexican. Years later, she says she's not even Indian. So nobody, you know, My heart bleeds for these people. Anyway, they're completely forgotten. And in the United States, we talk a good game about everybody because we are so full of, like, you can't believe we're septic. And by the way, the first time, I know I'm veering, the president, we have this stupid thing called DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Translation, hire the black guy over the person who knows what he's doing. It's called affirmative action on steroids. And we have hated this. Now it's gone. I'm telling you, people are dancing in the street. You heard about that terrible collision you heard, right? In D.C., this.
Yeah, we were going to get into that with you next and your theories, because I've been watching what you've been saying on your channel while I was driving around.
Well, the best part about it is that I don't know. I ask questions, but I don't know. But they are suspecting that maybe one of the reasons why this might have happened was in the control tower, they had one person versus two, and they were going to hire all these people based upon these DEI lower standard things. I'm going to tell you something about your group. People watching you right now, I call my group the Conspiratorium. And this is a group who loves to see things dark, deep. We have two extremes. One group, like with Diddy, whatever the news tells them, that's it. They repeat, they don't report. They just, whatever they say, that's it. You have the other group who never believes anything. They will come up with things. There's an expression, if you ever hear, they say this in medical school, if you ever hear hoof beats, don't think zebra. Think, you know, just don't jump to the most extreme. So I live in the middle of this. I live in the middle. So I think to myself, I ask the question, there was a thing called the Black Hawk helicopter. This is the one. Remember Black Hawk down? Okay. Right before this, they were bragging about how they can become autonomous. You can fly them remotely. I said, do you think, this would be me if I was doing an investigation, that maybe we might want to rule out or guarantee the fact that somebody did not break into the system and remotely. Some people I know, that's all they had to hear. That's it. I said, no. I didn't say it. I said, no. I said, let's look at that. Okay. There was a Russian ice skating couple, married couple, who tragically died. Aha! Russian. It's Putin, and he's sending a message. Where the hell did you get that from? I don't know. I just made it up. That's that extreme. On the other extreme, people who don't think anything. I know people who are still, we talked about JFK, people who still say, well, it was, they said it was one guy. I said, oh, my God. So I've got one group who is stultified, concretized by some, and another group who is in la-la land. They don't believe anybody. Like, for example, if there's a school shooting or if they, nothing happened. It's all a false flag. It's a distraction. It's like, where do you get this from? Could be, but let's don't, you know, go there right away. So that's kind of where we are. And when I talk about Diddy, I like when they say, what does this mean? Is Diddy going to flip? Flip on what? They need
his fellow racketeers.
He doesn't have any. He's it. Remember the whole thing with the...
How can you have a solo racket?
I know. Well, it's very easy to vote. All right, who's in favor? Oh, I am. Was me? Yeah, okay. Well, so much for that. The idea of a conspiracy is two or more people involved. Remember when Jay-Z came along? What was that about? Did I remember hearing his name? Is that over? Is that done? I don't understand. What was that about? Well, they're doing it. Do you think Diddy's going to jump flip on Jay-Z? About what? That he already has it? Let me ask you this. Do you think the feds don't know anything? Do you think the feds are going to say, I've got a girl, and we're going to put that says that Snoop or Diddy or whatever did something terrible to her, not necessarily battery, but just disgusting or whatever. I've got Hollywood. That's nothing. We have the Academy Awards coming out. Oh, have you heard this one? The woman, the trans, you're going to love this. It's called something badass. What is her name? I can't remember her name. Gascon. She's a trans woman. I get it confused. She was a man. Now she's a woman. She plays a drug cartel man who becomes a woman to hang out, to hide out or something. Okay. Hollywood loves her. Trans loves her. Okay. Until they went back and looked at her tweets. Turns out she says, what the hell's all these Muslims doing in Spain? Jesus, what kind of country is it? They're going, what? Yeah, what is this? And she's making fun of, yeah, the women sure have a nice, they have a little slit to look at. She goes after George Floyd. I'm thinking, I love this woman. Now the left is freaking out by this. Wait a minute, you're trans. She says, goddamn right I'm trans. Well, don't you think, what, like a liberal? No. Now they're saying, wait a minute, hold it. She makes Donald Trump sound like Whoopi Goldberg. This is the hardest core, so they don't know what to do. So she, of course, had to come out and apologize. Remember the thing I said 5,000 times? Yeah, I didn't mean it. Okay, very good. You see, Sean, what we're doing is we're seeing people, common sense people, who are saying, I don't know where this Labor Party or Tory or left, right, but I don't believe this nonsense. This nonsense, it's over.
Susan wants to know whether you think the plane crash was an accident or deliberate, or like our previous guest, Professor Hamamoto, said, it was a message to Trump.
How do you know it was a message? I can show you. First of all, this is what you see. What's the message? What's the message? Aha!
His life still, they could still get him.
Oh, gee. The guy got shot in the head, and you're trying to convince him? Let me get this straight. Actually, there were three conspiracies. One that actually shot, the second one they got at a golf course, and some third one. You don't think Trump has the message yet? You know, we can get to you. So we're going to take innocent. We're going to take an ice skating fat. What? Okay, fine. I don't understand these messages. See, the thing is, you don't want to leave a message where people do this. What? That's not a good message. You want a message where people say, oh, you know what this means, right? Remember The Godfather? It means Luca Brasi. He sleeps with the fishes. Had they done that scene where they said, what the hell is this? It's a trout and a pair of slacks. What the hell does this mean? I don't know. That's not a good scene. So people are looking at this and they're saying, how is this Trump? So anyway, it seems like they were going after. You got to ask this question. How come the Pentagon, which is the arm, the Defense Department that controls the military, with Pete Hegseth from Fox News, he's now the Secretary of Defense, how come the family says, we don't want you releasing the name of a female member of the helicopter crew? Why is that? I don't know. Is it because she's trans? Is it because they just want privacy? I don't know. I don't want to go Occam's razor on you, but I don't know. This morning, I woke up very early. And immediately, I'm reading X, which I love. It's the best thing there is. So some guy says, look at this. This trans chopper pilot named da-da-da-da-da, who was on this show, you know, pouring her guts out of, I wonder if she's like a trans. God damn it, the DEI. And I said, wait a minute. And then you have another picture of a guy says, here's this man. Proud, here he is with his family. I said, wait a minute, because I'm that brilliant. Are you sure we know who the pilot was? Not for nothing, kids, but do we know who the pilot is? Let's make sure we know who the pilot. Hold off on that trans thing. You're right, because there were people. And the next thing you know, Sean was like, pow, Look at this. This son of a bitch. Wait a minute. Hold it. Later on today, did you see today? Hello. My name is whatever. And it's the woman. I wasn't on that flight. And it's one of the few women who looks like a woman, but sounds like a man. But I'm thinking, this poor son of a bitch, he goes, hey, Jerry, yeah, I mean, Lorraine, yeah, listen, were you on the, I'm talking to you. Have you seen X? No. You might want to look at it. Who does she sue? For 1 minute, she was the scorn of the world. You goddamn it, you DEI, you. This is a warrant officer. He says, no, that's not me. And she's talking. And what do you say? Never mind. Now, I don't want people to be sued for misinformation, but I was right. I'm saying, you might want to wait a little bit. I don't know. See, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm like the worst at it. I'm always saying, can I have some proof, please? Can I have some proof? I don't understand. It was really kind of funny, but they're off and running with this stuff. So how do I know? Here's the questions I want to ask. They said, this is the most incredible, because Ronald Reagan Airport, first of all, if the name doesn't tell you everything, Ronald Reagan Airport, you want to land at Ronald Reagan? Would you want to land at Jimmy Savile Airport? No, I don't care how great it is. I don't like the name of it. Anyway, so this Ronald Reagan Airport is in the middle of D.C., District of Columbia, which isn't a state. It's something else, which we don't know what it is. Anyway, so it's in the middle of like the city. The runways are 7,000 feet long versus 13,000, 14,000. It's a bear. And it was only designed for like, you know, VIPs and special traffic. It's not really a full-blown major airport like Dulles Airport, which is, okay, fine. That sounds interesting, doesn't it? Yeah. Well, one guy said, I've been doing this for 50 years. Nothing's changed. There's a lot of airports that are crummy. Sean, in this country alone, we have, I think it was like every day, 100,000 takeoffs and landing everywhere. How it happened, I have no. If I took you to Newark Airport, right outside, because I look out my window, and we've got Newark, LaGuardia, and Kennedy, JFK. Kennedy Airport is so much, you know, when you first drive in and you see the names, you know, for Terminal 1, for Aer Lingus, Conolingus, Valencia, and you think, oh my God. And the next one, did I miss it? There's like 75 and they've got board after board. Geese and over the water. No problem. They don't even bump into each other. They've been doing this for a while. But all of a sudden, Reagan National Airport is a death trap. We got to shut it down. Then they said, well, you know, these pilots, they were on training. I said, well, yeah. I call training. Doesn't mean they don't know what they're doing. Didn't mean they were like, let's go by the train. Okay. No. They're part of their, you know, they drill. The doctors do it. People do it. So then they were training. Okay. And then they were in there. And Sean, they wanted to find something wrong with it. And it could be. Let the evidence tell me. I'm not going to go looking for it. Tell me. What should I know about this? These beautiful kids. It's so sad. Ice skating. They came back and this, oh my God, what is the purpose of this? Well, what? And then they said, well, you know, they were also driving this Black Hawk is made for war and maneuverability and flying. It's got to see everything. It's on the battlefield. What did they say? Well, you know, that's a pretty, you know, you get busy sometimes and, you know, you don't look up and wait a minute, what? They have these experts because, you know, when they go on TV, Fox News says, Jerry, give me the expert. The guy last time, who? The guy who? He wasn't a pilot. Has he been in a plane yet? Get him on. We got to get the expert on. We're going right now to Sean Atwood. You're a pilot? No, I'm not a pilot. Oh, have you known a pilot? No. Can you spell Pilate? Yes, you're on. You're our way. And then you're going to be opining about this. So they have these people on. And they were talking about, well, you know, they were using these NVGs. And as you know, Sean, in the conspiratorium, everybody's an expert overnight. Constitution, history, nutrition. You notice how people went apeshit over seed oils? You ever know that? Seed oils, they go crazy. I don't know why, but they just discovered seed oils. And if you mention it to them, they'll go crazy because they just learned about this. And next week, they'll forget it'll be something else. So now they're saying they were wearing NVGs, night vision goggles. And they may have had the wrong ones because they can actually... I said, wait a minute. Should we know this? Should the enemy say... I mean, I'm sure the Russians... Vladimir, yes. Did you hear about this? They have the night vision goggles. Get this. It's too dark. What? No. Why are we telling everybody that we don't know what we're doing? Like with the drone. Oh, forgot to tell you. Remember we talked about the drones? People go, the drones. I said, what about the drones? What about them? You see, are you saying the drones were involved in this? No, is it? And it's this language they speak. They don't even say anything. They say, this is not what I see. But they just see interconnection. So anyway, so we have these Black Hawk pilots, and they're like this. I don't know where we're going. What the hell's going on here? Jerry, can you see? Jesus, I can't. Did we miss that plane? With this little Sikorsky. Remember those old-fashioned, like turn those like Buster Keaton kind of old helicopters that spin around? I say, what is this? So to where I'm immersed now in you know, and the Daily Mail will say, here's a Sikorsky. Here's the model. Here's what's going on. Here's the RPMs. How fast does it go? We're experts in this. And then we get tired of it. Remember, 3 days maximum, because we have the attention span of a gnat. 3 days, we'll forget the whole thing. Next. That's like the fires in Los Angeles. Next. We get tired. Next. We're just bored. We say, and we just observe this. Now, here's what I'm going to predict. I've been telling people things, not on the air, of course, so to speak, but just friends of mine, just to see what they'll do. And I'll say, you know, those people that they say were lost in the PM, how do we know that? False flag. Now, what does that mean? This is our language. See, in the conspiratorium, they always say this. Oh, yeah, false flag, distraction. They don't believe anything ever happens. They've got these poor people. They're brokenhearted. They're pulling people out of the water. They've got funerals. And people will say, that didn't happen. Didn't happen? Nah, it didn't happen. It's in order. Who knows? Now, the problem with free speech is you have to have lunatics have free speech because, Sean, they don't know anything about critical thinking. They don't know how to go from this to here. Don't rule it out. The other day they were talking, Bobby Kennedy was doing his thing. He was taking the stand. And they said, do you believe that SSRIs, antidepressants, are linked to self-harm? And he said, well, I don't know if I believe that, but the medical literature sure believes that. It's in all the medication boxes. So then I meet these people who say they have to be banned. Because of the connection between this. And I said, did any of you numbnuts ever realize that the people taking this are in need of this because they might have some kind of depression to begin with, which might make them prone in the first place to this? So have you ever thought about that? Oh, yeah. So again, and I know these people better than anybody else because I lived through 9/11. I was here. And believe me, I got my education here. They still don't know what that one was about. Because remember, as they said one time, something like Freud said, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar.
Well, you're getting asked a lot of follow-up questions about the DC crash.
Good.
Whether the helicopter was at fault, the Black Hawk.
I think it seems like it was. It seems... The issue was simply this. They're going to be saying that there were helicopters supposed to be at 200 feet. Planes are supposed to be at 500 feet. Max, listen to me. I'm an expert. And at some particular point, immediately they have these folks online who are saying, and here is they have the actual tracking and you can hear the voice. You can hear, oh. I got to tell you this one before I forget. This one killed me like you can't believe. Do you know who Ainsley Earhart is? She's on Fox News. She's married or going to, she's the fiance of Sean Hannity. Good guy. I've known him for 30 years. You know how sometimes people will ask questions when they just don't, they really shouldn't be asking questions. Oh, I think I froze. Oh, maybe we didn't.
Keep going.
There we go. You're fine. There we go. Okay. She was asking the following question. She had on a retired Navy SEAL. That's our kind of SAS, you know, everybody's a retired Navy SEAL. There's like 10 million retired Navy SEALs, all of them killed bin Laden, every single one of them. There's thousands of them. And during the case, she was speaking to this fellow and listen to what she asks. This is the question. National, Fox and Friends, biggest cable show ever. She said, it's a tough question to ask, but I always think about this when we report on someone who has died. Well, this is in the morning. What were those last moments like? Because you don't want anyone to be scared, but you also want people to say their prayers before and have a little bit of time. But if I were in that situation, you just wanted to be quick, you know? So do you think when the plane crashes, when something like this happens, there's no pain, right? The people don't experience that. And he said, and people are thinking, oh my God, say a little prayer. What are you talking? This is the big, she's makes millions. True story, years ago, sometimes you know it when you ever say something stupid on the air? I say on the air, whatever this is, but do you ever say something, you go, oh, did I say that? Because sometimes, you know why? Because you feel, and it's tough for you because you only say about four words every 3 hours. So for you to make a mistake, it's got to be, for me, you know, anyway, I say that because I love you, and it's true. There was a woman years ago at a local news story, terrible story. It was a bus, and the school bus was stuck at a train, you know where this is going, like on a train crossing. And it was like, why the kids didn't get it, I have no idea. Anyway, and splat. Okay, so the woman is doing this local news show. And her response was, well, better luck next time. They went to black, so to speak. The next scene was a guy wearing a headset. It was like a floor director. They come and said, Jerry, yeah, you're doing it. You, honey, you're out of here. They threw her ass out. So she never recovered. Because at that moment, she said, I really don't know what to do. But can you imagine asking somebody, do you think they suffered? Do you think they knew when the plane splits apart and you're trying to focus and just, you know, handle this. Can you believe somebody actually saying that? That has just bamboozled me all day.
Incredible. Shannon's got a theory. My brother was a crash investigator in the Air Force and just sent me pictures saying the helicopter pilot did it deliberately. He said there was no way it wasn't.
Now,
do you remember the guy, the French pilot that flew the plane into the mountain?
Remember Eagle Wings, where he says, Allah Akbar. Remember that where he said, yeah. Now, I don't know, again, when somebody says, my brother was a cop. My sister, thank you. My sister was a nurse. My neighbor was, okay, fine. Do you think he deliberately did that? Well, first, let's look at the possibilities. It's a possibility, probability, I don't know. And frankly, let me see if I can say this correctly. And remember this, everybody start off the day with this prayer. I don't know about much of anything. We don't know. Nobody said, hey, Sean, want to see something nobody knows? Want to see the crash reports? Want to see the witness statements? I got a guy up in the tower who says, I think you want to know this. We don't know anything. So when I see a plane or a wreck, I say, he did this deliberately. I have no, could be. And I don't want to say that's irresponsible, but I'll give you an example. When you get a chance, look up, not that you have to, Flight 93, Shanksville. This is 9/11. Just as an example. This is kind of in reverse. This was my red pill moment. Flight 93, FLT 93. You'll see this wonderful little picture of these like three guys wearing like white suits with a little truck and a little dimple and some steam coming out of the ground. And everybody's always looked at this. And this is the moment. Was my red pill moment. We'll give you some time because this is me observing something and making an observation there we go. Now, you see this? This is the scene. This is flight 93. That's it. That's it. See the guys in the back, a little truck, some people there, a little crater. So I said, where are the wheels? Where are the wings? Where are the people? Where are the beverage carts? Where is the luggage? Where is the stabilizer? Where is the 6-ton titanium engines? Where is the... I don't think there's anything there. And at the time, there was this other stuff that said that there were two places, Indian Lake and New Baltimore, 8 miles away, where all the debris was. Now, I remember... I was on the air at that time, and I said, where's the plane? And somebody called up and said to me, what are you getting at? Thank you, dear. What are you getting at? I said, what am I getting at? They said, what are you suggesting? I said, I'm not suggesting anything. I'm asking a question. 9/11 had just happened. I don't know the evidence. I said, where's the plane? You ever seen this before? An entire plane? Now, at the time, people were saying things like, well, that's in Pennsylvania, and they do a lot of coal mining, and the ground can be kind of soft. So I said, wait a minute, are you saying there's a plane down in there? Sean, they came up with stuff. This is Flight 93. This is the crash site to this day. Now, I don't need anybody to tell me, well, you know, my brother was a pilot. I'm saying, where's the plane? I know a little bit about, you know, they said, well, you know, it was flying so fast. I said, I don't think so. I don't think that's the site. I'll go a step further. I think you're probably in the wrong place. Oh, they found this, and they found it. I think, was it Flight 93, or was this at the Pentagon? Because they threw these things around. It's kind of like, anyway, this happened. Yeah, there you go. That's it. That's it. Where are the? Do you ever see the engines? Do you ever see a jet plane engine? It's like titanium. It's pretty sturdy. Pretty sturdy stuff. It's a jet. And just kind of gone. Anyway, I thought that was very interesting. And you know what else was interesting too? As this was happening, they knew the names of the people who were on. Do you know, Sean, that on that date, people were on their phones calling people saying, hello, yes. Just want to tell you we're right there. Yeah, we're rushing the cockpit. Uh-huh. There it is. I look like a plane. Anyway, we're rushing the cockpit. And I said, who made these phone calls? People on their phones? Their mobile phones? 23 years ago? They were calling home? Nobody asked any questions. And they thought I was crazy. And I'm just saying, look, I don't know anything about this, but answer my question there. And they said, the person who was flying was, how do you know who was flying? Oh, MH-70 is a great one. That's another story. I don't know the, because you have to know the facts of the case. This is one of these things where you think to yourself, look, I'm not, I just have a question. Now, for those people who say, Sean, well, what do you know? You're just a civilian. You know, on juries, those are called civilians. They sit and they do medical malpractice, brain surgery cases, accident reconstruction, intellectual property, stock. Regular people make pretty big decisions. This is kind of common sense. We had a thing here called Building 7, which is the greatest thing anybody's ever seen. You remember that? The Solomon Brothers? You remember that? The BBC lady? Never hit by anything. Never hit by anything. I live in a world, it fell at free fall space and it wasn't hit by anything. Well, you know, the debris. What debris? Well, you know, the kind of stuff hits it. What is this, made out of balsa wood? What, a cardboard? No, it's... Anyway, so what happens is we have two extremes. Number one, evidence of something that people refuse to admit. In the case you talk about with this fine woman who called up, you know, my brother's an accident. Evidence that's not there that we want to read into. Don't get me going with religion, but man does this. We see things. We imagine because we want there to be order. And we love, many of us love intrigue. You ever met religious people? God bless them. We'll say, we were meant to be, Sean. It was fate that we met. There's a reason for this. Why? No, there is. There's a reason. This was meant to be. Really? I'd like there to be a reason, because if there's no reason, that means it's random. And I don't know if I can take this. So anyway, isn't it funny how what we're doing is, this is about psychology. It's not about the story. It's about people's reactions. And me holding up a Rorschach card and saying, what does this look like to you? It's like this thing called the thematic apperception test, the TAT. I just hold this. What are these people doing? They're arguing. That's what we do. We just read things. Uh-oh. That's a good one. This building, do you have it? Roll that tape. This wasn't hit by anything. This is Building 7. 43, I don't know, buddy. It wasn't hit by anything at all. And by the way, a lot of people, it was very interesting that kind of dust, they call that pyroclastic. It's almost dust like you see from a volcano when something pulverizes. And a lot of these things, as you know, it has to hit the ground first and then it turns into, this stuff was turning like that at the beginning, at the top of the descent. It was turning into powder. Isn't that interesting? Beams are shot 300 feet out. Why would a beam go? Anyway, I'm just asking questions. Nobody wants to know this. I'm telling you, it's one of those things where you just, it's like the story, Sean, of your conception. You know your parents, you know what they had to do to have you. Do you really want to think about it? No. Do you really want to go through the idea of your mom in a French maid's outfit? No. It's just, but you know what I mean? Certain things we just don't. And people will create constructions in their mind. Other people want, they love this. Oh, this pilot. Let's learn about that pilot. And he did this on purpose. And it was, it sent a message out. And it was a Russian. Yeah, that's it. And that was Putin's message to Trump that says, what? To get a civilian little plane on Reagan Airport? That's what he's going to do? You think Xi Jinping would say, I'll show you something. I'll just turn off the grid in Baltimore. Watch it. There. I'll show you how to do things. I'm not going to... Some little civilian plane? I'm going to knock it. No.
I'm putting Lionel's YouTube channel link in the chat. Please subscribe. We've got 20 minutes left. Get your questions in. And we've got a super chat from Sharon. Lionel, I'm delighted you speak about the Indigenous Americans.
Yes.
Do you recall Russell Means?
Yes, Russell Means, great activist.
Any specific speeches with Congress that are helpful right now?
No. We have a case I know of, Leonard Peltier, who was a Native American charged with, they're asking for a pardon.
I read his book.
Yes. You see, Sean, I don't want to, now, I'm going to just be a realist here. One of the studies, one of the things which I've always found fascinating are the troubles in Ireland. Now, I don't want to go through that, but I understand it. You have to understand, there are people who will say, we have a problem, how are we going to handle this? Americans?
The potato famine was brutal.
Well, that among other things, but there are people who say, we want you out of our country. You can't do that. It's going on in Israel. It's going on. This is what happens. And people who will say, oh, I understand what happened with IRA and, you know, this and that. You know, and Jerry Adams, mothers and fathers. You know, I love that. Because half of the time, we didn't understand what anybody was even saying. But it was fascinating. Okay. We understand what happens too with Native Americans, but they don't understand what Palestinians think about Israelis. It's the most incredible thing. I know people, friends of mine says, that's different. I said, wait a minute. You just told me you understood the Irish. You understood a bit. Well, this is the same thing. No, this is different. Why is this different? Your frame of reference, how you see the world is what's critical about this. Russell Means to the Native American is a hero. He's a hero. Pancho Villa, Zapata, these were heroes. They were revolutionaries. To Cubans, you know, I'll think of his name in a moment. Many, many people thought that Castro was too, as well, from their point of view. So if you can't take yourself out of your own particular mindset and be empathic, you don't understand how things are working. We have this thing in our country now that says, how can you ask somebody to leave this country when they've got children? How? Like this. Get out. Take your kids. I'm not saying leave your kids here. Take them with you. If I fly into the UK and my wife and I have a child, we leave eventually with the child. It happens all the time. But there are people here who all of a sudden say, no, you don't understand. Ah, Fidel Castro, one of the most brilliant people who ever lived. Do you know what he used to do? See his cigar? He used to take a paper clip and straighten it out or use something like that. And he put it down the barrel of his cigar and he would speak 2-3 hours. And the ash would start to accumulate. And he's talking like this, and they're saying, the ash has got to fall. And he'd be talking, and it got longer and longer, and he mesmerized people because of this ash that was held together by this. He was one of the greatest speakers ever. That's one of the reasons why the mob, we're not going to go through that again, but when he took over Cuba, that was one of the reasons. He was an absolute savior, but not really. Because he was one of the most racist MFers you've ever seen in your life. But anyway, I'm from Florida originally. And this guy, what he meant, if you wore a Che Guevara shirt in Miami or Tampa when I was growing up, you'll never make it out alive.
I was fascinated by all of the methods the CIA employed to try to kill him.
Not very effective, were they? One was to give him a poison where his beard would fall out. Another one was he had a mistress that they were trying to use her, and they just couldn't do it. Now let me ask you something: do you think they really couldn't kill him?
What about the fungi-infected scuba diving suit and the booby-trapped conch on the bottom of the sea?
Wow.
And the exploding cigar.
The exploding cigar, that I heard of. That was like, that's from like, something like Groucho Marx or some cartoon. But let me ask you this. Do you really think that they really couldn't do this? Or did they make a deal with him? Is he better? There's a piece of a game theory called Tertius Gaudens. It's where you have two people involved. See, one of the most incredibly nefarious, perfidious people of all time is your Winston Churchill. This was a rat bastard as far as we're concerned, but he was so brilliant. He played us. He got us into World War II. We didn't have anything we wanted. We said, you know, you're on your own. You're on your own. We just got them a World War I. The rule, we don't want anything else. Oh, one was to have Barbara Walters sleep with him. That would have killed him. I would have said Whoopi Goldberg. He would have wished he was dead. In any event. So, like Tolstoy said, history would be a wonderful thing if only it were true. Your British are the most fascinating. How we got into World War II. Isn't that interesting? We'll never get that story. But anyway, Tertius Gaudens goes back to Edward VII, well, World War I and changing the world. You were the most diabolical ever. I mean, way before MI6, you taught the world everything. You bastards. Perfide Albion. Used to walk around naked in the White House, drinking drunk out of his mind. And what happened was, it's so funny. Here's a story for you. This man, this hero, anyway, guy was loaded all the time. Look what they did to him after he was done. They just, see ya, just kicked him. His son, was it Randolph? One of the biggest drunks ever, married to that Pamela Harriman. That's another story. I don't want to get into that one. But this guy, Americans will say, we love him. Couldn't tell you the first thing about him. How about when he gives that sign? I know what that means in your country. Remember this? I don't think he was saying peace. You know what I mean? He was like, oh, the peace of something, but I don't think he was. Did you ever hear the stories about this? By the way, get rid of it. I'm going to show you this. Did you ever hear the story about how in certain countries, this is not, here it means A-OK. You know, like, it's good, you know. And there was some form of the story goes, some cereal, breakfast cereal, and he goes, it's great. And in South America or Central America, this means you're going to look like this when I get done with you or something. It's horrible. And they said, you got to get rid of this. This, I think to the Iranians or something, this is not a good thing. You know, thumbs up, way to go. They said there was a story. I don't know how true this was. We had the Chevrolet Nova. You know, new, like a Nova. In Spanish, Nova, no go. Not a good thing, which they got rid of that immediately. There was supposedly, you know how, or supposedly, as people say, there was a story of when Coke wanted to go to China after Pepsi went to Russia. You ever hear this story? It's a bit apocryphal, but I like the idea. They said, our slogan is Coke Adds Life. Remember that? Coke Adds Life was their thing. And they talked to these Chinese scholars, and they said, what do you think? And they said, nope, can't do that one. You're going to have to do that. Nope. Because listen, you rickshaw son of a... You don't understand. We're the United States. We know about marketing. And they said, well, the closest we can come up with is Coke raises your ancestors from the dead. He goes, you know what? On second thought, maybe we'll just forego that. There's all these stories about things that don't work. Look at the time when Kennedy said, Ich bin ein Berliner. He says, I am a donut. And they were like this. Berliner is a jelly donut or a donut or something. There was one where the Pope, remember Wojtyla, J.P. Deuce, tried to tell the Italian people, I love you. But the way he said it was like, I lust for you or something. And they were like, okay, well, maybe, you know, maybe he kind of always, you know how those Polish people, sure. Robert McNamara, our Secretary of Defense during Vietnam, insisted upon saying this message in Vietnamese. And they said, you really don't want to do this because there's diphthongs. You go, no, don't do it. I'm not trying to mock them, but it's a really type of. And he said, no, I'm going to do it. And he practiced. And what he said was something so, you can look it up, so bizarre. They thought it was a code. They thought maybe this is a signal to start bombing. Language is just wonderful. I don't have to tell you that, of course. Are there any expressions, any American expressions you find particularly distasteful?
So, having lived in America for 17 years.
Where did you live exactly? Where were you again?
Arizona.
Arizona is not exactly, you know, that's good. Phoenix, Tucson, you know.
Tucson, okay. Scottsdale.
Yeah. Scottsdale, yeah. Not exactly, you know. More like a tumbleweed, you know.
Yeah, tumbleweed, dust storms.
Yeah. Well, I like one of my favorites that you do is, I'll have said, it's a man called. I knew a man called. We could say named. A man called. It's like, we call it cancer. We call it anal polyps. It's a man called. Called. It's like a technical term. I had a friend of mine one time who, it was so wonderful. He was Irish. And he says, excuse me, can you tell me where the toilet is? I said, come here. I said, don't do that. Toilet means like the actual appliance. You mean the men's room or the whatever. He goes, anyway, I didn't know toilet was a big thing. Then he told me one time, he says, I want you to meet my partner. I said, oh, your partner, huh? Oh, hey, that's cool. I just met him. That's all right. I'm thinking he was gay. He's a partner. When I met his partner, I said, you might not want to say partner. I'm just saying. Irish, I love because I had no idea about your one and your man. I had not. And I had a friend of mine, a dear friend of mine, who's not here anymore because he's dead. I like to say, he's not here. He's not with us anymore. Why? Oh, he's over there. No, he's dead. But he would say to me, this one there is most dick. It's the one there, your man Trump. The one there. Your one there. With your man, the one there. And I had no idea what he was talking about. Until one day he was saying to me that, I don't know, but I had no idea. And I fell in love by hearing that. And I know this may sound to you pedantic or rude, but I found it absolutely hysterical. Just like you, there are particular ways of speaking in our particular country that I know you find great. Uh-oh, something I've said, where you found great hilarity.
So, the Queen's Guard, I've been watching ASAP trial. What do you think, Lionel? Not sure I've seen a victim or even witness testify as awful as ASAP really has.
ASAP, for bring me up to that one, the ASAP trial. I'm sorry.
I don't know what that means. ACS, is it? Can you give us some insight into ACS?
ASAP. Rihanna shows support for ASAP. Rocky. ASAP. Rihanna attends ASAP Rocky's trial.
Here's a better one for you.
You got me what on that one.
What do you think of the theory the elites are devil worshippers and Baphomet is both man and women, and that is why they are pushing for trans ideology?
Listen, I know that there are parts, significant, there are people who are Satanists or whatever it is. I don't think it's as much as people think. I'm not into the Eyes Wide Shut There have been. I know this. I know there are people who believe in devil worshipers, Satanists and the like. And I recognize it, but I don't think it's as big or it's as critical as is it. Cause you know, the Baphomet thing and Lucifer, I think there was a Baphomet was in a state legislature in the United States. They had some big deal about it. I don't understand it. I know people are very serious about warning about Satanists. I'm a retired Catholic and never understood the whole. No, I loved the devil, loved Satan. I thought he was great to look at, the horns, which, by the way, was created by virtue of adapting this from pagan ideology and the like. I've always wanted to ask the devil this question. I've always wanted to ask the devil, why do you always pick inconsequential, stupid people to possess? Some little girl, some crazy guy who walks out, your mother darn sucks in hell. You know, it's like, wait. Why are you doing that? What is the purpose of that? What are you gaining from that? Why do you always call yourself attention? Why do you do this? And God, why did you not take away his powers? The devil is completely made up. It doesn't exist in the Bible. It was a kind of a latter day version of this. The serpent, whatever was tempted, it wasn't really the devil. I never understood it. I know people are very hooked to it. Did you know, by the way, that we live very close in our neighborhood where the original sound stage was for The Exorcist? Right here. And The Exorcist was, I loved that movie. May I ask you, do you believe there is a physical manifestation of evil called the devil? Do you believe that?
So, I'll get to that. But I used to live in a town called Guildford that had a cathedral where the movie The Omen was filmed in.
Uh-oh. Rosemary's Baby.
Ooh.
Now, do you believe... Now, when I say this, I think not every religion believes in one. Not every I think there's a certain validity of something is the universality. Everybody believes in some kind of a God, deity, spirit. The devil, you know, not really sure. But in Catholics, again, I have nothing bad to say about the Catholics, but the devil was very, 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 very important, very big. Catholics are a whole nother. Another thing, you're probably Protestant, but Catholics, I kind of.
I was raised Catholic. I was an altar boy.
Get out of here. No, I mean it. Get out of here. No. I always ask somebody, if you walked into a church and I blindfolded you and I said, okay, you can only look at the altar. Can you tell me if it's a Catholic or a Protestant church? What would you look for? You can't look left. You just look straight ahead.
The stained glass windows and the communion chalice and
that would be inside the sacristy or inside the straight ahead. Very simple. If Christ is on the cross, it's Catholic because we have the crucifix. And it emphasizes the passion of the Christ. It's Jesus the Christ. Okay. We have the stations of the cross. The whipping, the scourging, it was like, look what he did. Protestants have Jesus off the cross because they emphasize the resurrection. He was there, but that's not the focus. They wear the cross, but empty. Catholics wear sometimes Jesus, you know, in the rosary. It's a very interesting thing. He died for your sins. Mel Gibson in The Passion of the Christ, or as I call it, Good Friday the 13th, it was nothing about the passion, the torture, the resurrection. If you watch it ever again, if you ever do, it's like 10 seconds. He was gone. So it's a kind of a different thing. It's a different mindset. We had great pictures. Remember, you don't remember this, Limbo. Did you ever hear Limbo? See, that in my generation, Limbo is where unbaptized babies went. And then all of a sudden, they just stopped talking about it. And I said, that's unfair. So I went to this one priest. I said, excuse me, you know, that's unfair. little baby didn't have anything to do with it. Not to mention somebody who predeceases Jesus wasn't here then, couldn't have done it anyway. Or you might have been born in Germany and, you know, the Jesus is... And he said, well, it's like a thimble full of water or a bucket full of water. They're both full, but one's more. And I said, that is bullshit. What are you talking about? One time, I looked up in kindergarten, there were this picture of these two, of the guardian angel. I love this. We all have a guardian. Sean, we got a guardian angel. And he looks for us. And there were these two kids huddled together on this rope bridge between two mountains. It was lightning. I don't know what the hell they were doing there. And there was a guardian angel behind them, looking very angelic, very sweet. And I asked Sister Mary Agony or Sister Mike Tyson, whoever the hell it was, I said, Sister, do we each have a guardian angel? He said, yes. I said, well, which one of these two buys the farm? Because there's only one in this picture. And she said, don't ask questions. And on that day, the heavens opened and God said, no, no, I insist, ask questions. I didn't write this. They did. And they had all these questions, these things which made absolutely no sense. That was one of the most important. And I hope Ziggy, you expose Ziggy to some structure of religion and then let him decide later on. But you can't throw things at him like, well, God is whatever. No, you got to give him a story. Jesus is great and Mary. Let him figure it out, whatever it is. I don't care what the religion is. Give him something, and then later on he'll decide it. But you can't give a child nothing and let them try to figure out the reality of things.
Right, we've run out of time, folks. So, Lionel, let the viewers know what they can look forward to on your channel in the coming days, and I'll put the link in the live chat.
Well, for those of you interested, in 27 minutes, my wife and I are going to be doing something we call Ventilation Friday. My lovely wife from Lynn's Warriors, who does yeoman's work and God's work to stop child predation and human trafficking. We're on in 27 minutes at Lionel Nation. So come on over. And Sean, as always, my friend, thank you so much. Not for what you do, but for what you appear to do. And I mean that sincerely.
Touche. Enjoy your stream. And hope to see you soon, my friend. And thank you for coming on and sharing your wisdom. I appreciate
Indeed. It. All the best, sir. Ta-ta.
Good night. Bye. All right, guys. I will close the show and just let you know what's coming up in the next couple of days. So Lionel's links are in the description box. Lionel's wife's channel is down there as well. So please support their important work with the human transporters. We have got an Indianapolis Cup coming on for the first time tomorrow. It's set for 5. I'm not sure it's going to be 5 UK, but it might be. Ex-homicide detective Christine Manina. And the title is From Our Words and Robberies to Grisly Murders. She's investigated over 700 major crimes and has got quite a resume. All right, so I love the ex-cop stories. They always take you on a dark, harrowing journey, including autopsies and unalivings and all kinds of other stuff. Beverly's back at 7 p.m. UK, Saturday Psychic Live. And then we've got two authors on the JFK Files Declassified at 10 p.m. UK tomorrow night, James DiEugenio and Andrew Illier. So that should be a good one with Trump about to declassify the files. And then on Sunday, nothing lined up yet for Sunday, but I'm sure we're going to have a blockbuster evening. So we will see all y'all in some of these future streams. Thank you for all of your questions this evening. And I saw Tommy was in the chat. I would love to get Tommy on at some point over the weekend to discuss the Diddy superseding indictment. So let's see if we can set that up. Put a one in the chat if you want Tommy to come on soon to discuss the superseding Diddy indictment. And we will get that arranged, hopefully, if he's available. All right. It's almost midnight here in the UK. See all the ones coming in. Thank you. Much love and respect wherever you are in the world. We will see you soon on some of the streams tomorrow. Thank you very much.